Welcome everyone to Community Roots. Wait. I forgot to do my tongue exercises before this. She sells seashells by the seashore. Okay, I think I'm good. Hey everyone, welcome to Community Roots, a place where we gather in community to talk about mental health so we can travel the journey of life together. I'm Samuel Richards.
I'm Julie Richards.
I'm Sarah Wakefield.
It's the intonation. I've got to match the tone. Well, thanks for joining us today. In the interest of being authentic and in the interest of just, you know, living our lives, it was kind of an opportune moment here within our own personal lives to sort of maybe break apart big feelings that, you know, you might not expect from an upbeat guy like myself, which I think today we're going to talk a little bit about anger, you know, how to deal with anger, the spectrum and what that includes, maybe how things feel like, how to cope with those things.
And the spectrum that you're referring to, if I can jump in before there's any confusion, is like a continuum of how extreme is that anger feeling.
Sure.
So sometimes we can have little bits of irritation, annoyance, slight frustration, and then further into that, going deeper into that or feeling it in a bigger way might turn into much more intense anger, or even we talked a little bit about rage.
Yeah. And we'll hear all of our growls before the episode ends. I'm just kidding. I do wonder, like, a question that comes to mind right off the bat is maybe the movie Inside Out, you know, anger being one of the main characters that's in the movie. What is anger? Is anger one of those key emotions, or kind of what's going on in our body when that happens?
I think some of the key emotions that people talk about, there are like sad, mad, glad, and mad being one of those. I have also heard anger described as a secondary emotion. What I think of it is anger has energy in it. It tends to be a protector. And so it's upset by something, normally, I would say, like a boundary that has been crossed, or something has not been fair, or I've been mistreated, or something like that. And so anger is that energy or protector part that is either coming out in a way that it's trying to have a voice and do something that creates some action to correct, like a corrective action for the injustice, or it can sometimes, to the other extreme, be turned inward where we swallow and stuff our anger. And that can be described even as depression, because we're holding in all this intensity. We don't have a release for it. And that then becomes very heavy and hard and turned even against ourselves at times. So I don't know what that all brings up for you as I toss
That's
out a
big
few
spectrum.
Ideas.
It seems like we've got a lot to talk about, at least. If one end you're getting energy and the other end you're losing energy almost. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. Your body's at a point of activity or shutting down. What do you think, Sarah? What comes to mind for you?
That last part, Julie, where you talked about how anger can become depression. And I think I've seen that not in myself, but in people I know. And I can think of one example of someone who I think has a lot of anger or a lack of agency, an inability to express all of those emotions, and has become depressed. Mm. So that's very interesting to hear those two connect, to hear that connected, anger and depression.
Well, and sometimes anger manifests for someone in a way that surprises someone to find out oh, I'm actually depressed. Like irritability would be a symptom of anxiety or depression.
Really?
It can basically be like our window of tolerance is shrunk. And so we're either feeling like with that surge of, you know, the sympathetic nervous system arousal of anger, like my fight response, or it can also be anxiety of like, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed. Then the depression is the loss of that flattened freeze even response, like too much, too long, too hard, I'm out of steam. So it can go on either end of anxiety or depression. Anxiety and anger are both sympathetic nervous system arousal, and the heaviness and the too much, too hard, too long freeze type response would be more of a parasympathetic, like I don't have any energy, like a brake response in essence. Instead of the accelerator, it's the brake.
That's really interesting. I felt so. My full disclosure is, like, today I felt strong frustration. It didn't feel like blinding rage. It felt like, you know, you're trying to start something and it doesn't work. And so that's where I did feel persistence kick in, like a feeling of persistence, like I've got to go to, like, almost feeling the overwhelm a little bit and then just kind of doubling down and just kind of like hitting the ground running almost. But it's interesting, just like, you know, almost how you said that comes from a slowing down or a wanting to quit, because I almost did have that thought of like, ugh, I wish I could just PTO the rest of the day, which almost seems like a quitting thing. And I was like, you know, my internal dialogue was, you know, you can't do that. Let's just solve this, move on. It just takes some attention, like one step at a time. That those were the types of, maybe not sentences that were going through my head, but the kind of ideas that were flowing, where it was just kind of like a grit almost, like double down and push. Where I initially thought was energetic, but now hearing you talk about it, it was almost like that was my body's response to it, overcoming the freeze almost.
It sounds like in some way you were maybe having this increased stimulus come in, the stressor comes in, and then you're trying to figure out, how do I regulate that? Like,
sure.
Do I lean into it and give it some energy that I try to fix it and solve it? Or am I too depleted? I don't care anymore. I give up. I have apathy. I want to go home.
Sure.
But it's that feeling of like distress came in. It sounds like, you know, the stressor was there. The stimulus is there of like, yuck, this is not okay. And what's my response to it going to be? What do I want to do with it? Part of you maybe was rallying for, we got to get through the day. Let's lean in and see what we can do.
Yeah, I do have a pre-recorded inspirational speech of myself that I play before. I'm just kidding.
I thought you were serious.
You are ready to hear it. Like, okay, press play so we can hear
also,
your
like,
internal wow, quote.
That is a strong flex.
Nice.
The amount of forethought that would have needed. Yeah, sorry, Mom. So there was a point of rallying, or I guess there's a point of depletion. And that's just kind of maybe a moment of where we talk about during our day where we have some agency and some choice. And I just kind of went with the former of like, let's just rally and complete.
And it can also be different parts of you. Like part of me wants to and part of me doesn't.
Sure.
And probably both parts are having certain needs to be heard, understood, possibly physical needs like food, water, sleep, movement, those kinds of things.
Sunshine.
But sunshine, that's a nice one. but also then maybe part of the, I want to give up, I want to go home, I'm done for the day. Maybe that part has some tenderness or hurt somewhere of like something a little deeper, you know, that it's not always about just the, I think that's part of the interesting thing to sit with anger is it's often a reaction more than it is like, what's this really about? Like if we sit with what's underneath it, it's, you know, has someone like, kind of minimized what I care about? Have they dropped me? Have they forgotten me? Or have they overstepped and offended me? Or like, it's usually, it's about something else, or it's a relational dynamic, or it's like an intrusion into how I see myself or how I see relationships. There's usually something it's about. So to explore it is like, well, what's underneath all that anger? Is it sadness? Is it hurt? Is it pain? Is it grief? Is it more of a physical need that I wasn't taking care of myself and I need to circle back around and make sure I get some food and hydration and rest? But like, what else is going on here, I guess, is a question to ask whenever we're looking at anger. Is it really about the person that I'm putting the anger on, or is it displaced anger? Because what I'm really hurt or upset about is something else.
Can it be both and?
Always.
Okay, good.
I hate to say always because I think, you know, always and never are like, whoa, those are extreme words. But I would say both and is true, yeah. It could be a lot of things. It could be a lot of factors. I don't think it ever comes down to just, here's the only thing this is about. Like, I think it's multi-dimensional. That's why I like dynamic therapy, like psychodynamic is like, let's look at all the layers. Let's explore. Let's see what else is there.
So then Samuel, with your frustration, you know, and Julie, you talked about this spectrum. On the spectrum, like with anger being on the spectrum and frustration and rage, can you again reiterate what's like at the opposite ends? So like sadness to rage. I don't know if you mentioned something at the beginning about the spectrum and I was just, could you?
Well, I'm a little nervous about using the word spectrum. I think continuum would be better just because spectrum, there's a connotation around that for, is someone on the spectrum for being like autistic or something like that. And so I think we got to be careful to like not confuse terminology. I think the continuum of, I could be slightly annoyed, a little bit irritated, a little bit disgruntled versus, and on that small level, I might swallow it. I might stuff it. I might not address it. On the other end is like, this is so big, I'm exploding it on somebody. It's more of a rage. So I was looking at the continuum of intensity of the emotion, having a little bit of it or a lot of it.
Samuel, would you say this was, I think you said it was not rage.
No, I do feel like it was more of a shutting down after we've talked about it a little bit more. I think that's interesting. Yeah, I do feel like on the spectrum of things, it was probably just a general annoyance, but it just felt like a lot. There was just a lot going on. I know the thing that got it for me was I spilled water all over my desk, and I was like, ugh. And that felt like the most annoying because I was trying to help two people at once. So it was like already pushing what you should be doing as a single-brained person.
Kind of like too much going on.
Yeah.
Too many things, too fast, too much, too hard.
And it felt like frustration. And then it, yeah, felt like grit. I do wonder about like anger being a secondary emotion. You know, it's something that you mentioned briefly earlier, but you kind of hit later that with anger, it's a reaction of something. And on one end, it could be a person's actions. On the other end, it could be your own body just reacting to the lack of, you know, care or attention. And either way, it's kind of reacting to something. It's your amygdala, right? Throwing up your fists and
protecting you from something. The secondary emotion, in essence, is saying it's a feeling about a feeling. Instead of dealing with it directly, I'm feeling anger about something, but I might have sadness underneath it. I might have grief underneath it, or hurt or pain, or it's about something else. That's what makes it secondary, is like I'm having feelings about my feelings.
You had mentioned a definition of rage before we started recording. Could you say that again?
Rage
word
can
for word,
be
please.
I know exactly. Can you come up with exactly what you said? Rage can be a suppressed anger, a historical anger from childhood, from an unmet need, that it's coming out now, that there's a voice and an opportunity, but it's also needing, using Pia Melody's language, it's also needing reparented, because rage would be like a teenage part of us that is just, I'm going to go flip somebody off and be really upset with them and throw my anger on, or be boundaryless or whatever. And so that's not an adult anger. Adult anger that is more functional, or our wise self or our best self, is able to actually put words to what we're feeling and what we feel angry about in a pretty concise way. And in a regulated way, we can have anger within our window of tolerance and put name, like words and language to something to be like, this is what disappointed me in that. This is where I really feel, you know, let down by that, or that someone didn't follow through, or whatever the concern is about. We're able to say it directly. So I think, you know, another two words that come up for me are being aggressive or being passive aggressive. That would also be a continuum, where on one side, the aggressive side might have that fight response and that rage happening, whereas swing to the other side of the continuum, and passive aggressive is like, I'm going to kind of more have a flight response, like I'll let out some of my anger, but I'm not going to do it directly. I'm not going to deal with it in a healthy, functional way. I'm just going to kind of give these side swipes of like I'm going to make my point, but I'm going to do it in kind of an unhealthy or malicious kind of way, and not really ever deal with what I'm upset about.
So this morning, I had a bit, I would have called it a rage moment until what you've just said about being able to articulate and find the words for your anger. So I think maybe I had more of a strong adult anger because I was immediately able to, well, not immediately. So I would say it took me 5 minutes to figure out what is happening in my brain, that it, like, what, why am I reacting like this? And I mean, I did the same thing too, a little bit, Samuel, like shutting down. Like I stood up, put myself on mute, stood up, walked over to the wall and just put my head on the wall. And I thought about kicking the baseboards. And my go-to reaction when I get angry is to imagine like, oh, I really want to kick a trash can, like those office trash cans that are plastic. You know that they would fly pretty far. Like it would be very satisfactory.
And like paper flying everywhere.
Yes. Yes. But one of the two things popped out as I started to write out why this had made me so angry. And one of them is a childhood, it stems from childhood of feeling ignored, or never being seen. And then the other one was not being good enough. And so I had these, I was able to articulate, either I'm not good enough, or I'm just, I don't matter. Like I'm not seen. And thankfully, I think I've done enough trauma work that I can not linger in those spaces. Not that lingering's bad, but I just noticed that that's where I went. But I was also able to process it and not get hung up. Maybe that's what I'm trying to go for. Like not get stuck in there. And so when you had said that, you know, earlier that rage was stemming from childhood, or anger coming from childhood stuff, that immediately popped into my brain of like, oh yeah, like that is a trigger for me. Like that is something that I continually work on. And that's why I got so angry. But also I know I'm angry at this person for things that they did. What they did wasn't right. Mm-hmm. But through therapy, I'm at a point where I know why I'm reacting the way I am, and I'm not going to, and I know how to approach the situation with this person. And I know I have a better understanding of my feelings, and I can be pretty mindful about what my next steps are and what's going on in me. And so yay, the therapy.
Yeah. That's the work then for you, is what was that about that was coming up for me? And that's what you're exploring, is saying it's the times that I felt like my voice didn't matter. And so that's a trigger of, this reminds me of times that, you know, someone was dismissive, or I was invisible, or, you know, I wasn't heard. And then you also gave the example of, what was the second one? Not mattering and
not being good enough,
not being good enough. Yeah. And so you're kind of seeing where maybe some of your golden threads or themes of vulnerability have been in your story of like, that's linked for me. That's where my brain goes with that. And so it has this really big reaction, because we've said, I think we've even said this a long time ago on this show, perhaps, of if it's hysterical, it's historical. Like, it's that idea of these big feelings, when they're that big, it's usually that our brain has added on layers of meaning from multiple experiences. It's not just this thing that happened right now with that one comment. It was like, that actually reminded me to, and it's linking all, bringing up, dredging up all these other memories and feelings and experiences that make it feel a lot bigger.
Yeah. And hearing you describe your situation, Sarah, I took a moment to almost go over how I experienced, and it does feel very surface level rather than deep. Mm-hmm. But I could see how, if my experience was attached to something deeper, that might have been a moment that I would have like reacted. I would have felt more of a rage, or just more of a like
intensity, maybe.
Uh-oh, this trash can's about to fly type of anger type thing, you know? That is interesting. It's interesting. We've talked so much about the amygdala and just how much, you know, there's an importance in it. There's an evolutionary importance in it. And then how much work you need to do with an active mind to just go over and comb over that stuff.
And what helps the amygdala to function, what I love about this, I'm kind of getting this reiterated in a class I'm taking this spring, the amygdala has to link with the prefrontal cortex, because that's the wise adult part of our brain. And so the amygdala is allowed to, you know, protect us, keep us safe, alert us to things. But for it to be really effective, we need the communication of the triune brain that we're using: prefrontal cortex, limbic brain, where the amygdala is, brain stem, which is connecting us to sensation throughout our body. So we're able to take all of these things in to effectively process that stressor or stimulus or trigger, to be able to go, oh, there's more here going on. How do I sit with the meaning of it? Or how do I take care of my body in this moment? Or what is mine to do with that, so that I don't have as frequent or as intense reactions to people that really aren't even about the person that I think I'm mad at? That's the ongoing work of learning how to feel that emotion, have the anger, allow us to have the anger. Anger is not a bad emotion. It gets a bad rap. But, you know, circling back for just a second to the movie Inside Out, here we are coming up into April. And so in a couple months, we're going to have Inside Out 2 that deals with anxiety, that brings in anxiety. So that'll be fun.
That will be fun.
That was not originally in Inside Out 1. They had primarily, like, they had anger, they had sadness, they had joy. Those were, like, three of the main characters.
Yeah, I enjoy contextualizing anger and putting words to it, or even just some of these things, because then it doesn't feel unexpected or out of the blue. It's something that has meaning behind it. I'm curious, so what are some ways that I can help deal with those circumstances, get that adult response, anger response? What are some different ways that I can kind of build that up? I know you talked about, you know, after dealing with that, combing over, once you feel a response, going over that and working through it. Is there a proactive way that I can do that?
I think definitely the foundations of mental health that we talk about a lot, which are food and hydration and movement and exercise and sleep, all of those are important. Developing our capacity for mindfulness, which is being able to just observe something, just let it be there, and we don't judge it. We don't have feelings and reactions to it. We just notice it. So I would say becoming a noticer and just seeing it as data, like, oh, okay, that deadline is coming up sooner than I thought it was, or okay, that person is sending me that email, or you know, whatever's happening, we see what's happening, we name what's happening, and even being able to put words to something, to observe it like that, is a way of naming it, to tame it, as Dan Siegel talks about, as a strategy of, like, so we're putting words to it, we're observing it, and we're allowing ourselves to step back a little bit. I think that's an important part, especially with anger, is that it happens so fast, so much, so intense. It's like 0 to 100. So if we can slow all that down, even just a little bit, to be able to just notice it, just observe it, and allow it to be there. And honestly, what about the idea of, if we think in terms of parts work, getting to know your angry part, like, because it is a, how do we befriend that part of us? Like, okay, that part is trying to protect me. It has good
the
in
muscle.
Mind. how do we, like, relate to it and listen to it? Because it has a message to be said, like, to be spoken. And that is so much, you know, someone who's really angry, to kind of help co-regulate that anger, is like leaning into the mess with them and being able to kind of validate, like, this really bothered you. This really upset you. Tell me more about that. I want to hear about it. Or thank you for telling me that. Thank you for sharing that with me. I believe you. It was that difficult, or whatever it might be, is creating a relational space. And we do this with each other. We do this within our own inner community of parts, where we welcome that feeling and we allow ourselves to have it and feel it. And then it softens, because it's like, oh, well, good. I was able to get that out. Someone's listening. That's good. Like, right. So it changes our experience of it. We don't have a voice that gets, like, louder, 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 or symptoms that get stronger, stronger, because we're ignoring them. Instead, it's like, oh, you are going to see me. You are going to pay attention to that gas light on your car that's saying it's on empty, or the oil change, or whatever, that you are going to notice. You are going to be attentive and responsive. Here again, it's a secure attachment. Like, I'm going to pay attention and notice that, and I'm going to do something with that, to befriend it, welcome it, turn toward it, allow it to be there, and then ride the waves. Because the intensity, I mean, even noticing the intensity of it is like, oh, that's some really big feelings. The big feeling is not going to stay at that intensity all the time. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So I'm going to learn how to ride that a little bit.
Okay. Do you guys want to talk gratitudes? Sarah, what do you got for us?
So when it comes to gratitudes, I'm really grateful to be at a point where I can use my emotions as data. And to look at things, to allow myself to feel those emotions, to feel my feelings without them alarming me. Or at least the alarm has a shorter period of control where I'm nervous or scared or shamed for feeling my emotions. I can much more quickly go into, oh, man, I am really nervous about this. Or I'm very fearful, or I'm very angry, and I can feel it, and then I can know that it'll pass, like you were saying, Julie. So I'm just very grateful for that.
And I think I would say my gratitude is having the safe spaces like this where we can share, talk about, and process, and be like, hey, how's your week going, and what's coming up, and sharing hard moments and allowing, it's almost like the pressure release valve whenever you share frustration with someone, that you're able to like name it and be seen, and then it soothes, it brings comfort, it brings a sense of I'm not alone in the world. And I know that's something we really want to cultivate here on Community Roots, is just, even if you all are not with us, you know, week by week as we are, you know, posting these episodes, it's, we include you as those that we are walking with, and bring that invitation to you all to be able to kind of feel the human experience with us as we journey together. And so I just kind of speak that out and name it and feel gratitude for it, for those of us or the listeners that are coming alongside. We are glad you're here.
As far as I go, you know, some things I'm grateful for are Alexander Wells for doing our logo and Steve Dodge for doing our theme song. I also wanted to say, you know, we're talking about some hard stuff here today. And if that is something you want to talk about, or maybe there's something else you want to talk about, feel free to reach out to us. You can always reach us at communityroots.pod@gmail.com. We love having that conversation. But for real, some gratitudes that I'm feeling, you know, just the changing of the weather into something that I'm able to exist outside is always helpful. Or even the other day we were walking around outside and it was still bright out at like 8:30, which is one of my favorite things. So, boom, as they would say. Anyways, folks, thanks for joining us today. We hope to hear from you soon.
Good to be with you all.